الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our readings in the work نصيحتي للنساء my advice to the women by عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى and we begin a new chapter the chapter with regards to تربية الأولاد raising the children cultivating and raising the children but before we begin reading and discussing this issue I would like to present a number of advices and some direction with regards to studying and learning and attending the likes of these classes so first we see that the work that we're reading from is in Arabic and likewise there is a translation and sometimes the translation may be missing some points or some parts of the original of the original text so if a person is not aware or familiar with the particular topic or the issues that are being discussed or the particular text that is being studied then maybe they can get lost easy then maybe they can get lost easy So the advice now is for the sisters to be familiar with the chapter before coming to class by reviewing it before coming to class and if they're able to read the Arabic then they'll read the Arabic and that is the asl or the origin with regards to this and if not then they can read from the translation And likewise after the class as well, reading from that which has proceeded from the actual work and also from the translation. And then comparing that with the notes that have been taken in the class. But sometimes we'll find that maybe a person will not be able to keep up and they'll be in the middle of the class. Where is he at? Where is he reading from? And worried and confused or lost. Looking for the particular place in the book, especially if it's from the English translation, for example. So the advice here and the direction here is to not be involved in this, and to not get lost in where is he at in the book and the likes like this, but rather to come to class with a heart that is empty and a mind that is ready to learn, and to benefit and to listen, and to benefit and to listen. So if it's difficult for the student to keep up with the teacher while he's reading from the text and to follow along by also reading the text as he reads and then taking down the comments and the benefits that are mentioned if this is difficult then one will not get lost in trying to follow the book but rather one will focus and try to write down the benefits the best that they can and even if it's difficult for one to write the benefits then they will sit there and they will listen and try and strive to comprehend they will just sit there and listen silently striving to understand and comprehend so the best thing to do would be to have the Arabic text and to follow along in the reading and to take notes mentioning the beneficial points and benefits that are mentioned during the class in addition to that which is in the text and if one is not able to do that then they won't just take the notes then they will just take the notes and they will not read along because reading along could be a problem it could cause them to easily become lost in the middle of the class and then many benefits will go by them and many points that were important will be lost because they themselves are looking for the page in the book or looking for the place in the book so on and so forth so this is something to avoid and stay away from so if a person this far had difficulty sometime keeping up with the particular position in the book, then during the class, then they will leave that and they will just have a notebook with them and they will take notes and they will write down the best that they can. And then after class, they can compare those notes with that which is in the book that they have, whether it's the original Arabic text or if it's the translation. So this is some advice I wanted to mention before we begin reading any more in this work, in order to, inshallah, help and direct the sisters in order to benefit more from the class, And sometimes maybe one will get lost and then they'll ask another person and then they'll distract others. So this could lead to many different ills or problems. And not only will one person get lost, then they will disturb another person to help them in the middle of the class. And all of this is something that is disliked and it's not recommended. And it's something that will weaken the benefit or lessen the benefit that is hoped to obtain during the class. So the most important thing during the class is to listen and to benefit. And that includes taking notes. And that's from the completion of that. The Salaf, they used to say, Al-ilmu sayyidun wa kitabatuhu qaydun. Al-ilmu sayyidun wa kitabatuhu qaydun. That knowledge, it is a sayyid. A sayyid is the game. You need that which someone hunts after, like an animal that they're hunting. So knowledge is something that is sought after, and the means to obtain it and to capture it, wa kitabatuhu qaydun, and writing it down. So to write the knowledge down is very beneficial, but not to get lost in following along in the work. This was the point to be mentioned, especially because it may be difficult trying to follow along from an English translation and listening to the Arabic reading and then the commentary and explanation on top of that. So if there is any difficulty in this affair, this is not blameworthy. Rather, just to leave that and to grab a pen and a notepad and to take notes and then to compare that later with that which is mentioned in the work. May Allah grant all of you success. So we see now that she mentions حفظه الله تعالى تربية الأولاد. تربية الأولاد. The issue of raising the children. And no doubt this is from the most important and the greatest obligations upon us in this life. And likewise, this is from the most important as well and greatest trusts that are upon us and that we will be held accountable with regards to cultivating and raising and disciplining the children and directing them and giving them sincere advice and aiding them upon the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah and taking the means to cultivate them upon that and aiding them and helping them to avoid and stay away from the avenues that lead to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the greatest obligations that are upon those who are parents and likewise those who have others under their care and under their authority. And it is a great trust. It is a great amana, and the trust, they must be fulfilled and they must be performed properly and they must be guarded and they must not be betrayed. And there must not be any negligence with regards to fulfilling the trust. So this is a major affair. And from the beautiful traits and qualities of the true and righteous believers is that they are people who fulfill the trusts and they keep their promise and they fulfill their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by observing those trusts and not betraying them and fulfilling the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is the trust that is upon the parents with regards to cultivating and raising their children. Allah, He says, praising the believers, mentioning some of their noble traits, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Those and those who, with regards to their trusts and their covenants, they observe them. They observe them properly by fulfilling them and not neglecting them and not betraying them. and not betraying them. So fulfilling the trust, this is from the greatest attributes of a Muslim and of a true believer. And the greatest amana is the amana of faith and the amana of fulfilling the rights of the shahadatain. Shahada an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa shahada anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the greatest amana. And this amana here, it has many rights. And coming underneath the rights of this is likewise raising those under one's care upon that, and teaching them and disciplining them and clarifying for them the great obligation that they have, that they will have as well with regards to this amana, the amana of al-Islam, and preserving the religion and the deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Rasul Amri al-Islam, that the head of the affair is al-Islam, meaning the most important thing and that which takes precedence in every circumstance, and every circumstance, and every situation, and every condition is al-Islam, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling the obligations and fulfilling one's duty to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and humbleness and fear and hope and compliance and sincere faith and truthfulness and honesty in one's deen and in one's religion, and staying away from and avoiding the prohibitions entirely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls the believers and He mentions this affair. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la takhunu allaha wa rasula wa takhunu amanatikum wa antum ta'lamun. O you who believe, meaning O you who have entered into al-Islam and you believe in Allah in the last day and you believe in the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la takhunu allaha wa rasul. Do not betray Allah. Do not betray Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa takhunu amanatikum wa antum ta'lamun. And do not betray your trusts. And do not betray your trust in any of those affairs that have been entrusted to you. Those affairs that have been entrusted to you while you know. So no doubt the children, they are a trust. And likewise the children, they are as well a great blessing and a favor from Allah. They are a hiba wa ni'ma min Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great favor and a great blessing. A hiba is a gift and a bestowment that Allah, He bestows upon the people as He wills. And it's a favor and blessing from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be held accountable for. And it's an obligation to show thanks to Allah with regards to, and to be grateful and to fulfill the right of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book likewise, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Him alone belongs everything in the heavens and the earth, and He creates whatever He wills, and He bestows upon whomever He wills females, and He bestows upon whomever He wills males, and He grants as a bestowment. Yahabu min wahaba yahabu hibatan. For Allah Azza wa Jal, huwa al-wahhab, wa min mawahibihi subhanahu wa ta'ala al-awlad. He is the one who bestows the favors and blessings, and from His favors and blessings that He bestows on the people are children. And some people He bestows upon them females, and others males, and some of them He grants and blesses them with both of them, according to His wisdom and according to His knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this chapter now is indeed a very important chapter, raising the children. This word here is of utmost importance to understand and to realize and to take seriously. At-tarbiyah, yani the verb is rabba yurabbi rabbi tarbiyatan. It means to cultivate and to raise something. It means to cultivate and to raise something that will be cultivated and it will be taken care of and it will be nourished from a very small or young age. It will be looked after and it will be concerned for and it will be cared for and it will be given proper attention until it grows in the best manner, until it completes its growth process. This is called tarbiyah. So here we're talking about tarbiyatul awlad, raising and cultivating and nourishing and bringing up the children. And this word likewise, rabba yurabbi, it requires it requires a fa'il. And there must be somebody who's doing that. And so somebody, he must take part in this. So there's something that's going to be cultivated and there's someone who's going to do that. All of this must be understood, because many people, they're in reality leaving others to raise their children. They're leaving others to raise their children. They're not doing the cultivation themselves. They're not fulfilling the obligation and the right and the great trust of it, tarbiyah. Rather, they'll leave the children in the hands of others. And this could be, from one aspect, praiseworthy if they are left in the hands of the trustworthy and the reliable, in the hands of the righteous and the noble. No doubt this is from the good means of tarbiyah. But unfortunately, what we see many times in these days, in this society, is contrary to that. And the parents, they're leaving their children in the hands of the wicked and the evil and the lowly and the despicable and those who disbelieve in Allah and disbelieve in the last day. And they have the worst conduct and manners and the worst etiquettes and adab. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ They're left in the hands of the likes of these people to raise them and cultivate them 6, 7, 8 hours a day, or even more. And many times even after that, they'll be left in front of a particular screen to continue receiving the cultivation from the likes of those who disbelieve in Allah and the last day. And this is failure, and this is betrayal, and this is a lowly way, and we will be held accountable for this. And this is what she is discussing in these affairs. So the tarbiyah, raising the children, it takes effort, it takes striving. It may be difficult, it may be hard, it's definitely challenging in these days, but it's an obligation that must be fulfilled. It's something that cannot be neglected. The parents, we must realize and remember that this is a trust and a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe we should recollect and reflect on our past. And before we were even married, the brothers, they're begging Allah to provide them with a wife. And the sisters, they're begging and calling on Allah to provide them with a husband. And they're hoping to get married and to have a family. And then Allah, He answers their call and provides them for what they asked for. Al-Wahhab, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestowed upon them that gift and that favor and that blessing. And then after that, they start now desiring to have children. And they beg and they call on Allah to provide them with a son or to provide them with a daughter. And then Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wahhab, He provides them and answers their supplication, and He grants them a child, and the child will be born, yani healthy and strong, with all of its fingers and all of its toes and its ears and its eyes and all of its organs properly. And Allah created it in the most beautiful and the perfect manner. And the likes like this, and this is something that we were asking for and we're begging for and our hearts were yearning for and desiring. And then whenever Allah, He grants us this blessing and He gives us what we ask for, we neglect that and we do not show thanks, and we leave that in the hands of those who disbelieve to cultivate it and to raise it contrary to that which is pleasing to Allah, to teach it and to raise it in a manner that is displeasing to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created it and provided it. This is betrayal, and this is failure. This is failure. So this chapter here is very, very important, that it's incumbent for us to raise our children, that we have to raise our children, that we have to take the time and the effort and bear the hardship and difficulty of cultivating and raising our children. And this is not possible. This is not possible to fulfill this trust properly until first we fulfill that trust of the shahada and la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And we cultivate and we raise ourselves. And we cultivate and raise ourselves upon the proper creed and upon the proper belief and upon the proper methodology and being steadfast upon fulfilling the obligations and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions entirely. At this time, a person, he will be able to raise his children, and it will be facilitated for him to cultivate them upon the proper tarbiyah al-islamiyah al-mardiyah indallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, he will not be able to do that. فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ The people of knowledge, they say the one who does not have something, he cannot give it. So this is again the problem. So the fact that the parents are negligent with regards to cultivating themselves upon the proper creed and proper belief and the proper methodology in life and performing the obligations correctly in a manner pleasing to Allah, according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and leaving the prohibitions and avoiding them and staying away from them entirely, and avoiding them and staying away from them entirely until one is upon this way. And until one is upon this way himself, he will not be able to raise the children. So we find that many of the people, the failure of their children and the misguidance of their children is coming from them. They're the ones who are raising them in that manner, and they're the ones who have affected them in that way. And even some of them encourage them to imitate the kafara and to follow their way. And many of them, as has proceeded, they'll leave them with them for hours at a time to be raised there and to be cultivated there and to have their hearts attached to them and to take them as allies and companions and friends. And again, this is no doubt betrayal. Betrayal. This is betrayal. So to strive to raise oneself first and foremost, and this is how we have seen in the arrangement of this work, beginning with the obligation of sincerity and the obligation of following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the obligation of being concerned with one's time and the likes like this. And then after that, avoiding the major sins, especially the major sins related to the tongue. All of the classes that have proceeded with what was with regards to this, and he cultivating oneself. And then now we discuss this issue. So it's indeed important for the sisters to be diligent to review those affairs and to be aware of those affairs, and likewise the other obligations that they must be upon in this life in order to fulfill the rights of Allah and to fulfill their duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, it is hoped that they will be successful in raising their children. And if one he himself did not cultivate himself upon obedience to Allah and His Messenger, then they will never be able to cultivate their children in that way. In that way, raising the children is difficult, and they are in need of patience and likewise governing. And siyasa means governing, meaning that you have to direct them. So in order to raise the children, no doubt it's a hardship and difficulty. And in doing this, there must be patience. And likewise, there must be good direction and governing, meaning the person, he has to look at the situation and govern and raise them in the best manner, cultivating them without destroying them or without misleading them or misguiding them or without neglecting them and the likes like this. And in order to make sure that their cultivation is proper and they grow in the right manner, and they grow in the correct manner, and they are brought up in the proper way, which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this requires a great knowledge. And just like a seed, if it's not cared for properly, it will wither and it will die. And if it's over cared for, or one is harsh with regards to that, likewise it will drown out and it will die. It must be taken care of properly. It must be nourished in the proper manner, and it must be given the proper attention. And not too much, and not too harsh, and likewise not too little, and not with negligence. So likewise raising the children. It requires this affair. And just to mention here, again, so that we realize the very first and most important point or step in raising the children, that which will be most effective, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is that the parent themselves, they will be upright, and they will be a qudwa hasana in their home and for their child. And that which the child sees from their parents is obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they learn from their parents' actions and the way they conduct themselves in their homes the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just by the daily conduct and manners and dealings of how the mother and the father come and go, and how they deal with each other, and how they move in their home, and the likes like this. This is the first. This is the first affair, the most important affair, is that we do not teach our children disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal by our own statements and actions. Rather, they learn from us by looking and watching us and observing us obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. in public and in private, and likewise obedience and compliance to the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise after that as well to keep the home safe and clean from all of the means that lead to misguidance, from music and from the foul images or the impermissible games or the other affairs that maybe the even some of the parents may be involved in, waliyadhu billah, to keep that home clean from the likes of these affairs and to keep these issues in check and far away from the house in the first place. And likewise to supplicate and to call on Allah and to beg Him to help you raise the children and to help you cultivate the children in a manner that's pleasing to Allah. To beg Allah and ask Allah to help you raise the children in a manner that's pleasing to Allah and to grant you success in that. It's been narrated from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyal, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 187 from the greatest of the pious and righteous of the Salaf. And he was from the narrators of Hadith likewise. It's mentioned he had a son named Ali. And whenever he was young, he was a bit reckless or he was disobedient. And it's mentioned in his biography, the supplication of Abu Ali, Fudayl ibn Iyal, yani of Ali's father, which is Fudayl. And he said, Allahumma inni kuntu ajtahidu fi an uaddiba aliyan, falam aqdir fa'addibhu li. He would say, oh Allah, I've been striving hard to discipline Ali, and I'm not able to, so therefore discipline him for me. And it's mentioned in the biography of Ali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he was from the most pious and righteous of the people of his day, that he became to be from the most pious and righteous of the people of his day. And there are many amazing stories that happened to him in his life, and he indicating his piety and his righteousness and his love for Allah and his messenger. So a person will not give up, and rather they will beg Allah over and over and over to help them to raise their child in a manner pleasing to Allah, and to help them raise the child in a manner that is correct and proper, and to guide their child and to guide their heart and make them upright and pious. So she says now, Tarbiyat al-awladi shaqa, fahum yahtajuna ila sabrin wa siyasa. So raising the children is difficult. The children they require patience, and also siyasa, governing. You have to be able to govern them. You have to be in charge, and you have to look to know what is proper for them. وَمِن ذَلِكَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ الْأَطْفَالِ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مُعَامَلَةٍ بِرِفْقٍ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُحِبُّ رَفْعَ الصَّوْتِ عَلَيْهِ وَلَوْ عُمِلَ مَعَهُ بِضِدِّ هَذَا لَتَعَنَّتَ. So she says now, and from that, and from this patience, and from this proper governing, and taking charge or guardianship of the child, is that some children, what they require or what they need is to be dealt with in a gentle and an easy manner. Some children, they're like this. The way to deal with them is with gentleness and ease. And they do not like for one to raise a voice, to raise the voice to them. And if they are dealt with like this, then they will be obstinate and they will be rude and they will be stubborn and they will start to oppose the parent. And so this is the case. Some children, they're like this. Some children, whenever you deal with them, whenever they make mistakes, if you raise your voice to them or you're harsh or rude with them, this will only cause them to become stubborn and to become rebellious and to become rude. And the more rude or harsh one becomes with the child, the more rebellious and obstinate and stubborn and foolish they act. So therefore, this one, you will not deal with him like that. She says, وَبَعْضُ الْأَطْفَالِ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مَنْ يَشُدَّ عَلَيْهِ إِلَى مَنْ يَشُدُّ عَلَيْهِ وَلَكِنَّ هَذِهِ شِدَّةَ لَا تَكُونُ زِيَادَةً عَلَى الْعُرْفِ فَإِنْ زَادَتْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَمَلَتْ الْوَلَدَ عَلَى التَّعَنُّتْ وعدم الإصغاء إلى توجيه أبويه. And also some children, they need what they need for you to be a little bit strong or stern with them. And some children are opposite. Some children are opposite. If you're too gentle with them, they'll take advantage of you. If you're too light with them or too easy with them, they'll run and they will not listen. But if you check them and you put harshness lightly, so light harshness in its proper place, then they will go straight. She says, but not the type of harshness that is beyond what is recognized in the customs and the culture of the people. If it becomes too harsh, it will carry the child to become obstinate and rebellious and to not listen to the advice and to the direction. So now this is something that is clear. And this could be with regards to one child in certain circumstances and situations, or with different children. Some are like this and some are like that. But even one child in certain circumstances, sometimes maybe you have to use this gentleness, and other times maybe you have to use this harshness. But everything has to be put in its proper place, and the parent has to be wise, and likewise has to have self-control, and also has to be sincere, and know that whenever they discipline or correct their child, they're doing it for the sake of Allah, hoping that the child will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this issue here of being gentle, this is the origin, and this is the fundamental principle in the dealings with the people in general. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانا وما نزع عن شيء إلا شانا. That gentleness and kindness, ease and dealings is never used in any situation except that it will beautify it and make it better. And it's not stripped or removed from any situation except that it will cause it to become a situation that is ugly or not nice. So whenever a person, he uses gentleness with a good intention, then many times one can rectify the mistakes or the errors in the house by simply being gentle and having proper and good speech and using direction with a good intention. And many times the people, they'll accept that. The husband will accept it in that manner. The wife will accept it in that manner. And likewise, the children would accept the advice in that manner. And even sometimes if they're really rebellious or they're hot at that moment, maybe they will not, it will not appear that they accept it at that moment, but after they calm down and they recollect and reflect over what was mentioned to them and how it was mentioned, it will affect them. So the origin is not to raise the voice and not to be harsh and not to be rude and not to be mean and not to be sharp. But rather to control one's soul and to control oneself for the sake of Allah, and to correct these mistakes and these errors or these deficiencies that occur in the home with gentleness for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in a good manner, in a noble manner. And this is a beautiful way of teaching. Likewise, the children, they'll learn that from their parents. But if the parent is always harsh and is always short and is always sharp and is not able, any one small mistake happens or something goes wrong in the house, one minor thing or major thing, every circumstance they're screaming and they're yelling and they're raising their voice and they're snapping on this one and snapping on that one or accusing this one, you never do this, you always do that, like this, and just having no patience and just letting their soul loose and just flipping out on every circumstance and situation and letting their tongue loose whenever they speak without thinking and the likes like this, then likewise you will see the children doing the same thing. The brother will be doing it to his sister, or the sister to her sister, or they'll learn the likes of these affairs from the parents. And this is lowly manners, and this is bad, and this is not proper. Rather, we have seen a number of chapters previously clarifying that what one will do is they will say something that is good or they will be silent, and this requires to think before speaking. On the other hand, likewise, there are circumstances whenever being gentle would not be proper and it's not sufficient. Rather, it's required to be harsh. But this again is in the limits and not going to extremes with regards to that. And one, he will not be harsh in a manner that will belittle the child. Or that will cause them to become insecure or to think bad about themselves and the likes like this. And he will not be harsh to them and then tell them that you never do anything right. Oh, you're a loser, or saying these bad words that would destroy their personality or cause the devil to have whispers in them, thinking that they're not good or they're not good enough and the likes like this. You don't do it like this. Rather, if it has to be harsh, it will be in the proper manner. And if in without going to extremes and without belittling, and the likes like this. So this is all from the beneficial advices. So she says, فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقَنَا حُسْنَ الرِّعَايَةِ وَالْمَسْئُولِيَةُ عَظِيمَةٌ فِي عُنُقِ الْأَبَوَيْنِ. So therefore we ask Allah to provide us with the ability to raise our children good and proper. And the responsibility with regards to this is great. Yani upon, it is a great responsibility upon the parents.
قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا.
She says that Allah the Most High, He says, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire, from the fire. Save yourselves and your family, and your families from a fire. Meaning from a fire that is fueled as men in stones. And this verse is well known. And we see the issue here, likewise, of cultivation and raising oneself first and foremost, and along with that, the issue of raising and cultivating one's child. So Allah, He says, save yourselves first and foremost, and your children. So that in order to save your children, first you have to save yourselves. And this is the issue that had preceded, that we mentioned, that one, he has to first raise himself upon the straight path. That one, he first has to raise himself upon the straight path. قُوْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ. And he first and foremost, save yourselves. وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. And your families. Ali radiallahu anhu is mentioned that he said about this verse, and how to save your families, أَدِّبُوهُمْ وَعَلِّمُوهُمْ. أَدِّبُوهُمْ وَعَلِّمُوهُمْ. To discipline them and to teach them. It means to discipline them and to teach them. So to discipline the children and to teach them, that means that first the parents, they themselves must be disciplined, and they must be educated. They must be disciplined and they must be educated. You need discipline bil adab al-shar'iyya. And they must be educated, yani bi ad-din al-islami wa sunnah al-nabawiyya. They must be disciplined with the legislative manners of al-Islam. And they must be educated with the Islamic religion and creed and belief. And with regards to the prophetic sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what is intended here. This is the means to save oneself and their families from a fire as fueled as men in stones. Qatada, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, what does this mean to save yourself and your family? And he, with regards to the family, and ta'murahum bita'ati Allahi ta'ala dhikruhu wa tanhahum an ma'siyatihi. That means that you order them to obey Allah azza wa jal, and that you prohibit him from disobeying them. So that means that you yourself, you must order your own soul first and foremost to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, you must prohibit your own soul from disobeying Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then after that, you order your children with the same. You order your children with the same. And had a person not done that himself, and then he ordered his children with that, then he will be like the Jews. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. You order the people with goodness, and you forget to do it your own selves while you recite the book. Do you not understand? Do you not have any intelligence? So therefore, to order the children to fulfill the actions of obedience, this is after oneself he learned those actions and performed them. And likewise, prohibiting the children from the disobedience of Allah, this is after one himself, he had learned them and avoided them. And he said, Qatada, he says, وَنْتَقُومَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ تَأْمُرُهُمْ بِهِ وَتُسَعِدُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ. He says that means that you will establish the deen of Allah with regards to them, and you will carry them upon that, and you will order them to fulfill to be upright upon the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you will help them to do that. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَعْسِيَةً قَرَعْتَهُمْ عَنْهَا وَزَجَرْتَهُمْ عَنْهَا. So therefore, if you see them performing any actions of disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will reprimand them and you will forbid them from that. And this is what it means to save them. So this means that a person, he himself, he has to be upright and steadfast upon fulfilling the obligations and the actions of obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal in the proper manner prescribed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions entirely and leaving off that which is doubtful and anything that could harm a person in their religion and in the hereafter. And then they will cultivate their child upon that way. and show preference to that, and not put their children in any situation or circumstance that could bring weakness to this affair here, or bring deficiency to this affair here, or be contrary to this affair here. Because Rasul Amri al-Islam, the head of the affair is al-Islam, and the only way to save a person's self from the fire and his family is that they take this seriously, and that the head of the affair for them is al-Islam. As for if the head of the affair becomes something else, then they will not save themselves from the fire, rather they will cast themselves in there. Rather they will cast themselves in there and their children, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. They will work upon that way, whether they realize that or not. They will work upon the way that leads to the hellfire, no matter what their mouths say. And they will cultivate their children upon the way that leads to the hellfire, no matter what their mouths say. If you ask them, their mouths will say they want to go to Jannah. But if you look at their actions and their statements and their deeds and what they're upon in their home and in their life, it's not leading to Jannah. So this is something that we have to be truthful with Allah with regards to. We have to be sincere, and we have to strive and to make effort, and we have to look into our own souls and see the good that we have and the bad that we have, and how well are we fulfilling the obligations of Allah and avoiding the prohibitions, and how well are we with regards to being steadfast upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And look into that, and look into our customs and our cultures, and the way that we carry ourselves, and the way that we move, and the things that we do in our life and our homes, and the likes like this. And if it's in accordance to al-Islam, then we praise and we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we strive to maintain that and abide by it. And if there's something that's contrary to al-Islam, and that which is clarified in the sunnah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must strive to stop that, and to remove that, and to turn away from that, and to leave it for the sake of Allah, and to leave it for the sake of Allah, no matter what it may be. And whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, then Allah will provide them with something better. So this is something that's very important, because we will be held accountable for our own souls, and likewise for the souls that are under our care. We will be asked about our children and how we raised our children. She says now, وَفِي صَحِحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بِنْ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنُّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ has been collected in الصَّحِحَيْنِ from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا that the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ he said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ all of you are a shepherd, meaning a guardian. The ar-ra'i is a shepherd, literally, the one who guards the flock and the sheep. But what is intended here is a guardian, somebody who has others under his care. So just as a shepherd, he's responsible for the flock, and he's responsible for those animals, and he's responsible for keeping them safe and not putting them in danger and taking care of them. And if they're ever exposed to any danger, it's his requirement, responsibility to take care of that and to remove that danger, and to put the flock in the best and safest place and position for their cultivation and raising. Likewise, a parent. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٍ all of you are guardians, and all of you are going to be held accountable. فَالْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٍ the imam, yani meaning the Muslim ruler and leader, he is a guardian, he's a shepherd, and he's going to be held accountable. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ عَلَى أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٍ and a man, he is a shepherd. He's a shepherd, meaning he is a guardian over his family, and he's going to be held accountable. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَعِيَّةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَهِيَ مَسْؤُولَةٌ And the woman, likewise, she is a shepherd. She's a guardian in the house of her husband, and she's going to be held accountable. وَالْعَبْدُ رَاعٍ فِي مَالِ سَيِّدِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ And the slave, he is likewise a shepherd and a guardian with regards to the wealth of his master, and he's going to be held accountable. أَلَّا فَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ Indeed, all of you are a shepherd and all or a guardian. All of you are a shepherd, meaning a guardian, and all of you are going to be held account, taken to account. All of you are going to be taken to account. مَسْؤُولٌ يعني you're going to be asked. You're going to be asked about those who are under your authority and care. You're going to be asked about those who are under your authority and care. Did you fulfill that trust? Did you take the proper means? You're not going to be asked about what they did and how they wound up. This is in the hands of Allah. Whether they're guided and they do the righteous and good deeds, this is in the hands of Allah. Whether they're misled and they fall into misguidance, in the end, all of this affair with regards to the actions of the heart and the guidance or misguidance is in the hands of Allah. So a believer, he'll not be held accountable for that directly, but he'll be held accountable for the effort that he made in raising the child. So whether the child is in the end guided or misguided is in the hands of Allah. But what the indication here, mas'ul, that we'll be held accountable, did we fulfill the right that was upon us with regards to taking the proper means and raising them and educating them and disciplining them and cultivating them and showing them what is obligatory for them to know and to teach them upon that and help them to apply that and showing them and teaching them that which is impermissible and haram for them and not allowed and helping them and aiding them to avoid that. This is the right that will be asked about. As for whether they in the end grow up and take that way, this is in the hands of Allah. But many times the one who is sincere and they take those means, Allah, He will aid them and help them. Allah, He will aid them and help them. And Allah will guide their children if a person He begs and He asks. But in the end, again, this issue is in the hands of Allah. And we know the story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And we know his status and rank likewise. He's from Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, and his son was not guided, and this was from the decree and the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. But no doubt, when he has to take the means and to fulfill that trust and striving to raise the child and taking the proper path and fulfilling the rights with regards to that. It has been narrated by Ibn Umar likewise, radiyallahu anhu, that he said himself, Addib ibnaka. أدب ابنك فإنك مسؤول فإنك مسؤول عن ولدك ماذا أدبته ماذا علمته وإنه مسؤول عن برك وطواعيتك لك وطواعيتك لك. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he says, discipline your child. Discipline your child because indeed you're going to be asked about your child. Discipline your child. Cultivate and raise your child because indeed you're going to be asked about your child. He says, ماذا أدبته? What did you discipline him? ماذا علمته? What did you teach him? And this is something that's going to be asked. How did you discipline your child? Did you discipline with the disciplines of Al-Islam? And did you cultivate the love of Allah and His Tawheed in the heart of that child whenever he was, from the time he was born until the time he became old? Did you cultivate and teach him about Prophet Muhammad? Did you teach him about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he knows him? And until the child knows him in a good manner and loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you teach them about Islam and how to make wudu and how to pray and how to recite the Fatiha and the other obligations that are upon them? Did you teach them and discipline the child to leave and stay away from the haram? Or did you throw him and cast him to the people that will raise him upon contrary to that? ماذا أدبته? How did you discipline? ماذا علمته? What did you teach him? What did you teach him? Did you teach him to prepare for the questions in the grave, or did you teach him to prepare for the questions in the test in the university and neglect the questions in the grave? And neglect the questions in the grave. We're going to be asked about these affairs. We're going to be asked about these affairs, whether there's a great threat with regards to this. There's a great threat with regards to those who do not raise their children properly or anyone under their care. She says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ هُوَ مِنْ جُوَامِعْ كَرِيمِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. This narration that had preceded is from the concise speech and beneficial statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مُكَلَّفٍ إِلَّا وَعَلَيْهِ مَسْؤُولِيَةٍ. So there is no one who has reached the age of accountability except that they're going to be asked and they're going to be questioned and they're going to be taken into account. وفي الصحيحين من حديث معقل بن يسار رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال. And also in الصحيحين from the hadith of معقل بن يسار رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ما من عبد استرعاه الله رعية فلم يحطها بنصيحة إلا لم يجد رائحة الجنة إلا لم يجد رائحة الجنة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in this narration, which is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that there is no slave, that meaning there's no person that Allah had put him in charge or given him authority over a people, and then he did not encompass those under his care with sincere advice, except that he will not find the scent of paradise. Meaning the one who has somebody under their care and they do not sincerely advise them and direct them and aid them and help them to stay away from the anger of Allah and the dangers of this life and misguidance from the shubuhat and the shahawat and that which leads to the hellfire. The one who does not do this and give them the proper advice and teach them about the correct path and the right belief and the correct faith and the right deen and the good way of life that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were not sincere in doing that, then they in reality have betrayed that trust. And the threat here now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَمْ يَجِدْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. They will not find the scent of paradise. There's no one who Allah has set in charge of a people or made given them authority over a people, and then they did not encompass them. They did not encompass them, meaning giving them the proper and sincere advice that they need to be successful in this life and the hereafter, except that they will not find the scent of paradise. This is a great threat. The scent of paradise can be smelled from a great distance. It's mentioned in other narrations. From a great distance, the people who betray the trust in this manner, they have others under their authority, and they do not give them the sincere advice that they need in order to be successful in this life and the hereafter, then they will not find the scent of paradise. Ayyadu billah, meaning that they will be punished and humiliated in the hellfire. This is a great threat. This is a great threat. Yani, and the sincere advice to be successful, we have to truly realize and be sincere and truthful with ourselves and understanding what is success. What is success? What is true success? True success is that a person, he will live a life in a manner that whenever the angel of death comes to him, he will take his soul while Allah is pleased with him. This is success. This is success. What is success, my noble sister? That whenever death comes to you, the angel of death takes your soul while Allah is pleased with you and He's not angry. While Allah is pleased with you and He's not angry. If this happens, may Allah give us from His grace the likes of this. Then your life was successful. Then your soul was successful. And your efforts were accepted. And in the hereafter, you have nothing but success and pleasure and joy and happiness and no worry and no grief. And no worry and no grief. And no worry and no grief. But as for the one who the angel of death comes to them, whenever Allah is not pleased with them, whenever Allah is not pleased with them, then they're failures and they're losers. They're failures and they're losers. إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة. Indeed, the true losers, there are those who lost their own souls and their families on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection, the loser, the great loser and the failure, he's the one that whenever the angel of death comes to take their soul, they're in a state of disobedience, or they're contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they're on innovation, or they're on misguidance, and they're upon disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. They're not upon the straight path. They're not upon the straight path. So in order for this to happen to us, then we have to be upon the straight path so long as we live. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. And this is likewise the advice of Yaqub for his children. ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. This is the advice of Yaqub عليه السلام for his children. And do not die except in a state of Islam while you're Muslims, meaning while you're obedient to Allah in submission and surrender. So this requires for us to be like that. In public and in private, every day and every night, and strive to be obedient to Allah upon knowledge and insight. Hoping for the reward of Allah and fearing His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cultivating our children upon that way. As for living the American dream, I'm being truthful with you. Those people who have this in their mind and they want to live the American dream, many times that death comes to them in a foul manner. And whenever their souls are taken, Allah is not pleased with them. Rather, the American dream is contrary to everything Islam teaches us. And this is coming from an American. So therefore, I have knowledge of this affair and experience. And these are things that we have to strip from our hearts. Whatever is contrary to Al-Islam, whatever is contrary to Al-Islam, we leave it. We have to get rid of it. We have to remove it from our heart. These lusts and desires that we have, these cultures that we like, what we want to be in our life, if it's contrary or not going to lead us to the pleasure of Allah, or could be a means that could lead us to the anger of Allah, we have to leave that. We have to remove that. We have to turn away from that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to have the American dream, to have a big car, to have a big job, to have a big career, to have a big this and to have a big that, many of these people, they're big failures. They're big failures. Maybe he has $1 million, but whenever the angels of death comes to him, he can't pay them off. He cannot pay them off. The angels of death, they come. يَذْرِبُونَ وَجُوهُهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ.
The angels of death come to the disbelievers and those disobedient people in this manner like this. They're striking and smiting their faces and their backs, and they say, taste the burning of the blazing flame. And he said, this is something that we have to remember. We have souls, and our children have souls. And just as an angel came and brought us by the permission of Allah a soul, and we have grown until this day, and likewise our children, angels. Allah, he sent angels to our children and breathe by the permission of Allah the soul and of life in those children. There's going to be an angel that will take that soul, that take my soul and take your soul and the soul of our children. And what is important is that that angel comes and takes that soul while it's in a state of purity, while it's in a state of piety, while it's in a state of obedience, while it's not chasing the American dream, or chasing the Western ideology and pop culture. That, while it's upon the straight path and obedience to Allah, this life is going to go away. It will not last. But the life in the hereafter, it does not go away. Rather, it lasts. Rather, it lasts. So this is something we have to realize, that those people who neglect raising those under their care and authority properly, then they're exposing their soul to the anger of Allah. They're exposing their soul to the anger of Allah. She says now, وَلَا بُدَّ مِن تَعَوُنِ الْأَبَوَيْنِ فِي تَرْبِيَةِ أَوْلَادِهِمَا وَلَوْ أَحْمَلَ وَحِدٌ مِّنْهُمَا مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَسْئُولِيَةِ لَبَقِيَ جَانِبُهُ فِيهِ نَقْسٌ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. So she says now, and it's incumbent for the parents, the mother and the father, both of them, to cooperate together in raising the children. And if one of them was negligent, then this responsibility is going to remain deficient, and except for whatever Allah wills. So this issue now she's discussing is the obligation of cooperation between the mother and the father with regards to raising the children. And they are the captains of the ship. The mother and the father, the husband and the wife, they're the captains. They're the captains of the ship. Of the family, the people of knowledge. They mention the usra is like this: the al usra laha safina, safina tul usra. The usra, the family, has a ship sailing through the waves of life, and it's incumbent for the captains of that ship to take every means, every step that they can to keep the ship sailing on the straight path, on the way to the pleasure of Allah, and to avoiding being overcome by those waves and being lost at sea, the misguidance of deviation and innovation and of doubts and whims and misconceptions, and in the darkness and in the waves of whims and desires and lusts and impermissible actions and statements and wealth that is haram and foul and the likes like this. So this is another topic that inshallah we begin our next class with, and it is about Safina to Al-Usra, the ship of the family, and how the husband and wife, they must cooperate together to keep their family afloat and not sinking and drowning in the waves and ocean and oceans of misguidance and of sin and transgression, and to not deviate to the left or to the right, but rather to sail directly and straight and upright in a noble and a good manner, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah grant us success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.